try this. Okay. Hi, and welcome to my show, Parent Talk with Bev. Would you like to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Yes, hi. My name's Nelsa Katoja, and I'm a transformation guru.
Well, what's a transformation guru?
Right. So a transformation guru is a coach, right? There's so many coaches out there. Mm-hmm. And coaches are not, let me just get something right. Coaches are not counselors. So what coach does is a coach helps you from where you are to where you're gonna, where you want to go to. So we don't focus on the past, we focus on the present, mm-hmm. and where you want to go in the future. And we help you set simple goals to take you there. The reason why I called myself a guru is because I want to stand out from the rest, because I am different and I am unique and everybody else is unique in their own right. And also a guru is someone who is a specialist mm-hmm. in transformations, a specialist in that field. So for me, the reason why I call myself a guru is because I'm a specialist in transformation mm-hmm. because I transform my own life. So now I help others transform their own lives too.
Well, I first encountered you on Mother's Day when another organization, Sister to Sister, CIC, were hosting a Mother's Day event for us to be first. And your story was quite powerful about how you started and transformed. Would you share with us how this all started for you?
Yeah, to not be here forever, I'm going to try and keep it short and simple. I was a 9-to-5 working mother, had a daughter, have a daughter who's now 18. At the time, my daughter was 11, and I just transitioned into becoming my own boss and started mm-hmm. my own company as a personal trainer. So I qualified mm-hmm. as a personal trainer, had my company, which was called Five Star Physique, which was helping women to transform their bodies. Mm-hmm. Probably about a year into being self-employed, you know, I'm a single mom. I'm dealing with my own finances. I'm making money. I'm now introduces this whole new world of entrepreneurship, which to me was like, oh, I'm in control of making my own money. And, you know, a lot of people will tell you that as an entrepreneur, your mind doesn't rest. Mm. So what was happening was I was pushing my mind and I was pushing my body to the extremes when I didn't realize. So I had maybe over 10 clients that I was doing one-to-ones. I was teaching 10 classes a day. Wow. I mean, not a day, sorry, a week. Uh-huh. I was here, there and everywhere. And then on a weekend where I should be resting because I've got all this adrenaline running in me, I was going to fitness weekenders, exercising, going mm-hmm. out. So I wasn't really being kind to myself. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I'm amazed. I'm in this journey of transformation. I'm doing all this stuff. So, you know, you want to push yourself even more because mm-hmm. there's a good thing to have goals, mm-hmm. but then when you are not really focusing on the balance, having a balanced lifestyle, mm-hmm. it can go the complete different way. And I wasn't mm-hmm. balancing my lifestyle. I was just so excited. And I thought, oh, my body's changing. I'm a personal trainer. I'm getting loads of compliments from people. Mm-hmm. I'm building muscle because I love weight training. I was like, I'm going to compete as a figure model. So wow. I decided, you know what? If I'm going to compete as a figure model, I need someone to coach me. So I hired a coach to put me through a training plan and a dieting plan. And I've never dieted in my life, ever. That was my first time of being told this is what you've got to follow. So before, I was exercising for fun. I was enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And then when I was put onto this plan, and my coach did say to me, make sure you explore the reasons why you want to become a figure model, because there's a lot of do's and don'ts. And it can really mess up your mind if you're not, if you don't know what you're getting yourself into. And I was like, I'm stubborn. I'm like, no, it's fine. I didn't read all the reasons. Mm-hmm. I totally was like, narrow-minded, I'm going to do it regardless. So mm-hmm. she gave me a plan for us to do it within 3 to 6 months. Of course, me being so goal-orientated, I was like, nah, I can do this within 3 months.
Wow.
So instead of me being gentle and following the plan properly, I was trying to cut corners and speed it up. I wasn't being gentle on myself. So the dieting plan for me was what set me off, what was triggered me off, because as a figure model, as a train, you have to eat 6 meals a day, right? Mm-hmm. You have to also eat every 3 hours. You also have to have your cheat meals. You also have to have your carb cycling. Carb cycling is when you're certain days you're eating a lot of carbs, other days you're eating fats and protein. So it was very strict.
Yeah.
But the way the coach coached me was supposed to be a gentle way. I said, no, I took out carbs. I wasn't having cheat days. And probably within a month, I started to experience tiredness.
Right.
A fatigue. And I didn't know what that was.
Physical or mental?
Mm-hmm. And then the mental came in where I started to have doubts. I started to compare myself to other trainers there. Even people that I was really close to, I started to believe they were doing better than me. Even though my clients kept on saying, you're doing amazing, we love your classes. My classes were sold out. I'd have a waiting list. Everything was going well externally, but internally, all these negative beliefs were coming through. Mm-hmm. All these things of not feeling good enough, or, you know, now I'm feeling exhausted. I'm not looking forward to training my clients. I felt distant. And then I started to feel these butterflies in my stomach that I didn't know what it was. I've never had depression. I never had anxiety in my life. I always dealt with life, you know, just normal.
Yeah, yeah.
So when I started to experience the anxiety in my stomach, the butterflies in my stomach, I didn't know what it was. It was anxiety, obviously, I found out later. But when I went to see a doctor, straight away, within about 5 minutes or less, he said, you're depressed, take a pill.
Yeah.
So that's when my world turned upside down and I gave up my business. I didn't feel good enough because I didn't feel I could focus on my clients. I started to binge eat because I felt anxiety and I didn't like how I felt. I was numbing my emotions with food. And I stayed for 4.5 years trying to get out. And I refused to take medication. But I believed a diet would fix me. So I became even more obsessed about finding the perfect diet online that would heal me. And that triggered more feelings, more emotions, more, you know, I got to a journey of like not liking myself. I hated myself. Mm-hmm. I thought about ending my life every single day because I just didn't feel like it. Mm-hmm. But one thing for me, and I think anxiety triggers this quite a lot, is insomnia. I couldn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So for 4.5 years, on average, I could get maybe 1 hour, two. Wow. So mentally, I was not in this world. I felt like I was outside of this world. I felt like if I walk down the street, I'm just not even present. That's how I can describe it. I'm not present in the moment. Mm. And every doctor I visited prescribed a different pill.
Yeah, they love to.
Yeah. So prescribed pill. I tried CBT, which was, you know, thoughts and all of that. And because I'm the kind of person that wants to solve it, I'm a problem solver. Whatever they told me, I'm like, no, I can solve it this way.
Mm.
I could only say that I had the faith inside of me that I would be able to do it. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know how, and I still continue to believe
mm-hmm.
that if I ate, if I took out gluten, if I took out dairy, if I didn't eat meat, I'll be okay. But even I put all these restrictions on myself, the more I will then binge eat. I'd say, right, I'm gonna eat really healthy for the next 2 or 3 days. Felt bad, woke up anxious one day, stuff myself. So it just became a vicious circle of being stuck in this hamster wheel of every single day trying to figure out how to fix my problems.
And I think what stuck with me is that as me personally, everybody sees that me as somebody who's really strong, really confident on the outside, but not people don't necessarily understand some of the things that are going on the inside.
Mm.
And then when you mentioned at the mother event that, you know, you were trying to go, now I'm listening even more about everything you're going through, and it's just hitting me in right here, like, yeah, I'm familiar with that. Yeah, I know about that. And now put on top of that, you're raising children.
Yep.
How did that really impact you and your relationship with your daughter?
We were very close before.
Mm.
We became very distant. I got to a point and I felt like a failure because I got to a point where I didn't care about what she was doing.
Right.
It was, she'd come home and she's just there. And I could not connect. That loving feeling that I used to have for her was disconnected. Mm. I literally was like, I was so focused on my own problems
mm-hmm.
that I couldn't care about anybody else.
You couldn't manage another thing.
I couldn't manage. Even if my daughter came home and said, "Mom, this happened at school," that's a trigger for me. I'm already anxious hearing about her problem. I really don't want to hear it. So I wouldn't listen to her. Mm. I pretend like I'm listening. Mm. There were some days I'd go, okay, I've been at home in my pajamas the whole day. My daughter's going to come home now. Let me at least brush my teeth. Because there'll be days I didn't want to even move. And I'd like, let me brush my teeth. Let me pretend I'm okay. And let me cook dinner. So I'd have those days where I'd pick myself up and I'd cook dinner. And then when I'd cook, I still had the obsession of eating healthy. So it was affecting my daughter as well, because I didn't like my weight. So I also criticized and judged her for what she ate.
Right.
So behind my back, she was, you know, eating what she wanted, you know, whether it was chicken and chips, and then coming home and pretending like she's still hungry, just to kind of, so she, it was also affecting her and I didn't realize. And then it would also be sometimes where she'd come through and I'd just be like, "Jada, there's no food, just sort yourself out." And she'd bless her, lock herself in the kitchen, come out with an amazing meal, and almost felt like sometimes she was caring for me.
Yeah.
And this, she was what, 11, 12 years old at the time, just started secondary school. And yeah, I felt like a failure because I was like, I'm supposed to be doing this for her. I'm supposed to be helping her. I'm supposed to be the mum. And then I had my mum, who was very supportive, and my mum kept saying, "Come and live with us. I need to take care of both of you." But I didn't want to let go of my independence because then I'd feel like more of a failure.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just a trigger after another trigger.
So like you said, I wanted to still be strong to the world. I wanted to be strong, but inside I was breaking. Every single day I was breaking. And I just, at times it got so much where I used to say to my daughter, "I'm just going to jump out the window." You know, a child hearing those things is not good. But my mindset was so bad that you couldn't tell me what's right or wrong, what I should and shouldn't be saying. I was just at that point where it's just nothing matters. Nothing matters but getting out of this situation. So, yeah, it affected my household quite badly. Well, there was points where I'm separated from her dad where she didn't want to come home. She wanted to just stay at her dad's. And then I would feel more of a failure, or I'd be scared. I'd be physically scared to be by myself because I'd be afraid of what I would do to myself because I had the thoughts, you know. So, yeah, my, it affected myself, my daughter, my family, everyone around me. Yeah, it really did.
So I'm looking at you, and what I'm seeing is not the person you're describing. Although I completely, there are levels of what I can identify. I mean, I remember when I was feeling a particular way, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor gave me a pill. And I'm just like you. I'm not a, I'm trying to be more homeopathic. The cat's going crazy, Laura. She's always in the podcast. And I remember him. I don't even know the name of what this doctor gave me. Right. All I know is I know two things. He made it a repeat prescription, so I didn't have to keep going and seeing him, which was a real danger sign for me. When I read up about the pill, I was like, but because I was feeling so anxious and so depressed, and at a point where I was like, a pill will help. At least I'll try it. And I took the pill. Let me tell you something. But like the drunken master, I went to sleep. It was, it was one of the best sleeps I had. But when I woke up, I felt like the world was moving and I was standing still, or that everything else was standing still. And I felt like I'd had a hangover. I'd never had a hangover in my life. And I was, my kids were trying to maneuver me from side to side. I was like, wait, this don't feel good. This feels worse than how I did feel before. And then to have my children witnessing me in that state, it wasn't a case of like, I was out of control, right? And I didn't like that feeling. And I was scared because I was like, if this pill is supposed to help me and I'm going to carry on feeling like this, how is it helping me? So I made a decision like yourself, you know, I said, I'm not taking this pill. Whatever I'm going through, I got to find another way. So I did one-to-one therapy. That's what kind of helped me. I'm a talker. I need to see things outside of my head. That helped me. But how did you move from that to where you are now? Tell us.
Well, it was similar to you. I did try it. And I remember I wanted it to help me to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember taking it and it's still not making me sleep. I remember lying down the same day. I didn't want to take it, but a friend of mine said, you know, look, Nelza, I've taken it before. It helped me after I lost my mom. You know, it took 6 months for me to actually feel better. And I thought, God, mm-hmm. 6 months for me to actually feel better. That's a long time. And just like you, the doctor prescribed something and said, come and see me in 6 weeks.
Yes.
And I'm like, whoa, hold on. How can I be depressed? I'm a fitness instructor. I'm training every day. That exercise meant to make me feel good. Mm. I'm financially well. I'm not in a relationship. So how can I be depressed? But doctor knows better. I came home and my friend was like, she came down that day. She's like, Nelza, just take it and go to sleep. I took it in the middle of the afternoon and my mind was racing. Mm-hmm. Racing. Mm-hmm. When I got out of bed, my friend was like, did you sleep? And I said, no.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would think about every day, what is this going to do? And I remember taking it and stopping. And then my mom got so desperate that she was like, you need to do something. I'm afraid I'm going to lose you. You need to do something. Yeah. So for my mom, I took it for a month. Again, yeah. It didn't make me sleep. And I was just like, I want it to help me to sleep. And it's not doing anything. And it created night sweats. Ooh. And it was a awful type of sweat that I've never smelt before. I'd wake up soaked. I mean, completely soaked. Well, I'd have to change my clothes in the middle of the night. And I'm just like, this isn't really helping me.
It doesn't seem real.
It doesn't. And, you know, even though we're here talking about this, it's our own experiences. I will never turn around and say, because none of us are medical. I'm not a medical doctor, so I'm not here to advise anyone to stop it. Never do that. You've got to seek advice from your doctor to wean yourself off, right? Because mm-hmm. there's a right way to do it. And it has helped some people. But like you said, Bev, you still had to take the steps yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought to myself, I saw friends that were taking it. I saw friends that had been on it for years. Some of them are taking pills or take pills that's made them increasingly overweight, increase their weight. And I remember going to the doctors once, and like you, I would always research. This doctor tried to prescribe me the same one that one of my friends had been on, and she went from a size 8 to a size 20-something. Mm-hmm. And all the issues that I had, she still had them.
Yeah.
The only difference is that she was taking a pill and she was able to get up and go to work. I couldn't get up and go to work. I would be at home. I was on benefits. I wasn't a functional, because there's a difference between a functional depressed person and a non-functional. I was a non-functional because I was in my head. I was in my head. I had to figure out what's the problem. If I tried to work, which I did, I was stressed. Everything was a stress. So, you know, after the doctor prescribed me this one that makes me put on weight, I said to the doctor, you're giving me something that's going to make me put on weight. I have issues with weight already.
Yeah, already.
And he basically gave me the option. He said, well, it's up to you. Do you want to sleep or do you want to you have to choose whether to put on weight or sleep.
Wow.
I said, I'd rather not sleep. I don't want to put on weight, because that was a trigger for me, putting on weight.
Yeah.
You know, so I said to myself, I've got to find a way. So I'd seen CBT didn't work for me because I wasn't engaging. It's not that it doesn't work. It's just I wasn't engaging. I tried the psychology.
What's CBT?
CBT is cognitive behavior therapy.
Oh,
so it's the first stage that they send you to, which they help you to find your thoughts. Why thinking this way? Why reacting this way?
Right.
It got to the point where the CBT person had to take me shopping, food shopping, and witness me shopping to see if I would actually pick up foods, because I would go shopping and I'd be so anxious to choose foods. I'd be in the Asda or Tesco's, afraid to pick up foods because I look at the labels and think, oh, this one's got gluten, this one's got dairy, I can't take it. You know, it was so, and this is the first time I'm actually saying all of this to you, because sometimes when we have interviews, it's always kind of fast. But with her, I could pick everything and of course pretend that I'm okay. And I realized that didn't work. So I thought, okay, I need to see something else. So someone else, I tried a psychotherapist, and I remember the psychotherapist sympathizing with me and saying, oh, you're so hard on yourself. Let me sit you down on a computer and you can do meditation. She sat me on a computer for 15 to 20 minutes. I listened to this meditation thing on a computer, and then she finished with me and I went home feeling even worse. I thought, no, I can't see this person again. I told them, they put me back on a waiting list and said, we're going to put you through group. I attended one group session and a group session and different people talking about their own mental health. And there were some people that were saying they were throwing their sofas out the window, they were doing all of this stuff. And I was like, listening to them and thinking, I'm not like that.
Yeah.
This is making me worse. I'm going to come here and listen to other people's problems. I'm not doing those things. Mm. I just need to figure out why I can't sleep. That's all I need to figure out, and why I feel so awful. Mm. So I researched and I said, I need a psychologist like you to just say, Nelza, this is what you're doing. This is what you've got to do. I'm like a coach. I need someone to say, right, you're doing this now. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on the future. Because obviously there's traumatic experiences that lead to depression and anxiety past. Mm-hmm. And you may need deeper therapy. I had no issues from the past like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So whatever was going on now, I needed to figure out what was going on. And after working with this psychologist, bless him, I felt like he was a coach. He basically said, Nelza, you want to go to a restaurant, you want to eat all of these foods, but then you're saying no because you can't eat them. You want to go out with your friends, but you're still saying you can't because you're tired. You know, he said, you've got this book. He gave me the diagram of a book. He said, this is the book. And you're like this, you're pushing against it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, just put the book down and go move forward. And he said, what's your values? And I said, my values is going out with my friends, my family, mm-hmm. enjoying myself, eating foods that I like, mm-hmm. exercising, looking after my body. And he said, are you living your life according to your values? I said, no, because I'm tired. Mm-hmm. And he just said to me, imagine you're going to be tired for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. Are you not going to get up? You're going to be on that sofa every single day. He said, Nelza, from now on, you have to challenge yourself. Everything somebody asks you to do, even if you don't want to do it, do it. If your friends ask you out, go. If you're asked to go out to a restaurant, go. Challenge yourself to do the things that you've stopped yourself from doing for the 4.5 years, because you know what you've got to do. You're very aware. Mm-hmm. You're just not doing it. Because mm-hmm. again, I still was waiting for that magic pill that I would wake up the next morning and I'd be okay. That was my problem. I believed that I would miraculously wake up and a miracle would happen and my body would be perfect and I would be perfect.
Yeah.
And I would just say to the whole world, I'm here.
I've had those dreams, believe me. And I wake up in the morning and I look in the mirror and I still look the same.
You know, exactly. I used to have all, I wanted a magic pill to fix me. I wanted to just close my eyes and wake up and think this was all a nightmare. I remember one time I even went, and I don't mind saying this, I even went as far as taking smoking weed because I thought that would help me to sleep. But I had a really bad reaction to it because I'm not a smoker. Mm-hmm. I had such a bad reaction that I had to call my whole family to come down because I thought I was dying. My daughter experienced this whole thing. I could actually not move. I had to crawl up the stairs after I smoked. And when my family came, my sister basically turned around and said, you were tripping because your mind was in such a bad place. You actually had a tripping experience. Right. Where I could see loads of things in my mind. And then when I went to sleep, I thought I was going to wake up and this was going to be a nightmare. I actually had the dream of waking up and realizing that this was all a nightmare. When I woke
up, it wasn't real, that it had never happened.
I was still the same.
Yeah.
Everything had happened. I just felt like I'd embarrassed myself in front of my whole family. But that was the moment when my family saw how bad it was.
Right.
And that's when they saw how vulnerable I was and the fact that I needed help. And they were like, how can I help you? The only way they could help me was financially because I was on benefits. Mm-hmm. I was struggling financially. I couldn't deal with my debts. But cut a long story short, what did I do, Bev? I literally had to start taking small steps forward.
Yeah.
Whatever they were. And the first steps that I took, and I'll be honest with you, was when I did the NLP course, I was still really, really depressed. And NLP is called Neuro-Linguistic Programming,
right?
Which helps you to work on your subconscious mind, right? Mm-hmm. So subconscious mind is the mind that we can't control. When we're born, our mind is a blank canvas, right? It's blank. But as a child, we learn, we're a sponge to those around us, to the mm-hmm. things that we see. You know, if a parent keeps on saying to the child, you're stupid, you're unworthy, you're disgusting, the child believes, right?
Yeah, I
didn't have parents like that. I had a loving mom. I didn't grow up with my dad. I had a loving mom. But whatever subconscious beliefs I saw, right, mm-hmm. I believed. And one of my subconscious beliefs was that I can do this on my own. I'm independent. I'm responsible. Mm-hmm. I can do this on my own. It's one of the things that I carried by seeing my mom as a single parent doing it all on her own. Mm-hmm. So there was no such thing as asking for help. It's just getting it done.
Yeah.
because mm-hmm. I'm supposed to help my mum now. I'm supposed mm-hmm. to help my child. I'm supposed mm-hmm. to help the whole world, mm-hmm. but I didn't know how to help myself.
I'm trying so hard to shut up. Just listen.
So a neuro-linguistic program is basically working on your subconscious beliefs, limiting beliefs. And once you work on them, you can move forward very, very fast.
Right.
So I thought, okay, if I do this course, I'll be able to do it to myself.
Mm-hmm.
When I did this course and I invested $2,000 with it and I had no money, blessed the woman that allowed me to do the course, allowed me to pay small amounts of money because she just, I don't know, I found her somehow. When I did the course, because my mind was in such a bad place, I didn't learn anything. I came out of it feeling even worse, right? A whole year passed and I felt like an even more failure. I'm now $2,500, $3,000 in debt because I had other debts.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't know how to look after myself. So when I had this psychologist and he just said, look, you need to start taking step forwards. Somebody introduced me to gratitude out of nowhere. Just before I got released from my psychiatrist because I was seeing a psychiatrist in October 2017.
Mm-hmm.
After seeing about 3 different psychiatrists, this last one was a blessing. He said to me, Nelza, there's nothing wrong with you. You can still put on makeup. You can still have conversation with me. Even though I'd lost my sense of, I couldn't speak much for 4.5 years. I struggled to speak or to tell people. It's like I'd forgotten my voice. That's another thing that was really, really difficult. Ooh. But when I was with him, I could talk. And he was like, you're still aware. He said, what you need to do is, I'm glad you haven't taken none of these pills. The last pill that the psychiatrist gave you, if you'd taken it, you'd not be the person standing in front of me today. And if anybody heard me saying this, I'd probably lose my job. But you need to start your business. You need to start enjoying nature. Use the free stuff that's out there. Go for a walk. Meditate. Drink a glass of wine. Be happy. And I was thinking, oh, this guy. It's what I wanted to hear. But at the same time, when I left there, I had that level of fear. What if I end up in a mental home? What if what you're saying to me doesn't work? You know, what if? And then one day, it was around Christmas, my mum has a massive meal around Christmas, and she sets the table for the next 7 days where we just eat galore. And obviously, because I had a fear around foods, I'm already dreading Christmas.
Right.
But after I got released in October and I went to get my hair done, I thought, right, at least if I look good, my hair's done, I'll feel good. And around that same time, because I started saying yes to invitations, I started allowing a friend of mine, who's now my partner, take me out quite a lot. And we went from friends to a relationship, even though I was still not well. So now I had something that was keeping me excited. I now was released from my psychiatrist and went to do my hair, wanting to do things for myself. And when I met this person who's spiritual, he said to me, Nelza, I've lost my wife. I tried to commit suicide. I've lost my job. But I'm so grateful to God. And I was like, oh gosh, not this again. I've given up on churches. You're here telling me about God. I don't want to hear anything. And he's like, no, I'm not telling you to go to church. Just wake up and be grateful.
Yes.
I said, all right, I can do that. But I'm not sleeping that much. How can I be grateful? So just be grateful for the 1 hour sleep. So when I used to wake up in the morning, I had endless negative thoughts. I mean, endless. That's why I couldn't sleep. That's why my mind was resting. So when I started wake up, it was like, thank you, God, that I'm awake. Thank you that I had a 1 hour sleep. Thank you that today is going to be a good day. I started with gratitude. And then the more I started to wake up with gratitude, the more I wanted to have conversations with myself, with God. And then I was like, okay, let me pray. Not the way that the churches have taught me how to pray. Let me just tell him I'm not happy. Yes. So I started to actually have conversations with myself. I journaled a lot. I always journaled for the whole 5 years. But my conversations became deeper. And after about, and I say 21 days, because I started to do it every day, I just used to wake up in the morning and not have those negative thoughts anymore. But I'm not sleeping still. But my mindset is changing. So I'm now not having negative thoughts.
Yeah.
I'm now saying I am going to go out. I'm now saying I am feeling better. Even though none of those things were happening, just my thoughts and my affirmation. So when I start coaching clients, we always focus on the thoughts first. Then we change those thoughts to affirmations, because there's no point me saying, right, go and do this, when in your mind you're just saying, I'm ugly, I'm depressed, I'm anxious. No, we change the the I am affirmations, we change the thoughts. So because I started to do that to myself, I started to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So in December, Christmas, I literally gave myself a challenge. I said, eat whatever you want, Nelza. Stop dieting.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult because I was going forwards and backwards. But I remember going to my mom's house at Christmas and seeing all of this food on the table. And this is the thing, if anyone suffers from a food disorder, and I'm going to say what I realized I had, which is body dysmorphic disorder.
Right.
Body dysmorphic disorder is that you look at yourself in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
but you see all these flaws.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily on your weight. Sometimes it's your weight. For me, it was my eyes were always tired. So the first thing I saw was my eyes.
Yeah.
And then my stomach was bloated from the overeating. And I didn't like those two parts of myself.
Right.
So that was my body dysmorphic disorder was I did not like my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I did not like my stomach. I did not like myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that caused me to want to diet all the time. So when I decided that, you know what, I'm going to stop eating, it was very, very scary.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got to my mum's, and I allowed myself to eat all of these foods, there was no longer a restriction.
Yeah.
So where I would normally hide and overeat, yeah, when I was eating in front of people, I'm eating a piece of chocolate, I don't need anymore. I'm eating a piece of cake, I don't need anymore. I allowed myself to enjoy,
yeah,
life without. There was a level of guilt, don't get me wrong. And there's then after Christmas.
There's always
right, a level of guilt. Exactly.
I think people.
And then after Christmas. And then after Christmas, I decided I wanted to diet again. And I was like, no, I can't. And I just have to keep enjoying it. And I started going out more. My mindset was changing. And around February, I remember going to my first birthday party. My friend was having a first birthday party. And I'd never been around a lot of people because I became socially anxious.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was my friend's birthday, I was like, I have to go for her. I'm very close to her. I have to go. I bought myself a really, really tight dress and I stopped wearing tight dresses. I'd lost weight, funnily enough. Even though I'd started to allow myself to eat, I lost so much weight really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Because I then started to exercise a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that I wasn't sleeping, I started to do things that I enjoyed. I started to live life according to my values,
mm-hmm.
eating what I wanted, exercising even if I was tired, going out with friends even if I didn't want to. And the challenging thing for me was eating and then putting on a tight dress, because it was things I used to do.
Yeah.
I remember, and there's a picture that I've got, and I've posted it, and I was looking at myself in the mirror in a peach dress. And that's when I mentioned the mirror exercise I mentioned to you guys the other day. I looked at my reflection in the mirror and I didn't see the tired eyes anymore.
Mm.
I looked at myself and I went, wow, I actually look good. And I remember looking at myself in the mirror, no makeup, my hair was done in locks and I had the dress on. And I was like, I look okay.
Yeah.
I actually look okay.
Mm-hmm.
And because I knew about the mirror exercise from before, Louise Hayes, I think it's Louise Hay. She wrote a book about the mirror exercise and I'd read it briefly while I was unwell, but I wasn't able to take it on board.
Mm-hmm.
This time I started to face myself in the mirror and start saying to myself, I love myself. Every single morning I'd have my meeting with the mirror, my prayers, my gratitude, and I started to get to know me.
Yeah.
And that's when the changes happened. And then in March, I was like, now I want to eat healthy. So I removed all those substances of food that weren't good for me, you know, dairy, gluten. I really cleansed myself. And when I started to cleanse myself, the energy started coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And because I approached this healthy eating in a fact that I now like myself a bit more.
You're loving yourself. You're eating,
right.
You're eating more lovingly. You're looking at your body. Well, I'm sorry. I'm talking about me. You know,
yeah.
When you... I spent so much time loving out, but not loving in.
Exactly.
And when you suddenly change the script, and I know for me it's a little bit different because my children are like 19 and 17, so now there's a bit more space. When I was going through what I was going through, they were teenagers still, you know, like 13, 14, 15, 16. But now when I shop, like I made a decision to, I looked in the mirror last year, 2019, as we were coming into 2020. And I was like, Beverly, you are playing badminton 2-3 times a week. You're doing aqua aerobics. You're active. You're doing all these things. And you still don't like what you look like in the mirror. what's going on? What's it going to take? What's it going to take for you? And I started this journey of detox, and started to lose weight. Then I changed my eating. I was like, okay, because the detox really was about green juices and plant-based vitamins, right? And as I was doing that, the discipline, you know, of, okay, I'm going to take one step at a time. Today, I'm going to drink this amount of water. I'm not worrying about tomorrow. I'm just going to get through today. And then by the afternoon, I'll have my fruit juice. Not fruit. I'm very careful. It's green juice, right? And then when I get to 7, I'll have my meal, all right? And then have water. And tomorrow will take care of itself. And just staying focused like that. And then realizing that my body, because I did a bio scan and my body doesn't like meat. And I was like, how the hell did I not know my body doesn't like meat? Obviously, what was reflecting back at me was saying that. Anyway, I've made a decision. I cut out meat. I don't miss it. And now the reason I'm saying this is it's been a journey. And as I'm listening to you, I can hear so many parallels of the journey. We tried something, it might not have worked. We tried something else, it might not have worked. We tried something else, it worked a little. All the time, seeds were being planted in whether you're conscious of it or not, everything that we did was planting a seed. Every step that I took was planting a seed. And what I realize when I look in the mirror now is, yes, I still have the fupa, as they call it. Yes, that fupa is because I've got 2 kids. At the end of the day, I love myself enough and I'm doing something about it, exercising. Yeah. And I've got myself a trainer to help me because I know that I love to cuss my trainer when he's putting me through hard work and it makes it more fun for me. You understand? Knowing myself more, loving myself, giving to myself more. And this is really weird because the giving has meant that I give out better.
Amen.
Looking out. So sometimes we're frightened to look in and to love ourselves, to treat ourselves. And the other thing you were talking about, being strong Black women. My mom brought me up and she said, be independent, be on your own, I'm on my own now. You understand? I've been on my own in relationships because I've been so independent. And it was the fear of being vulnerable. And if you can't be vulnerable with you, if I can't be vulnerable with me, and if I can't love me, I can't allow you to be vulnerable with me, and I can't allow you to love me.
So you will not allow, you won't receive. You won't allow yourself to receive. And you've covered so many different amazing things, Beverly. So thank you so much for sharing. Let me start on a part of meat. Right? My body does not like too much meat neither. Let me tell you why my anxiety started. Because I was on a bodybuilder's diet that meant excess meat and fats too quickly. Right. When I started to like myself and love myself and accept my situation, this is where we get to a point where we accept. I accepted that I'd created the life that I was living. No one else had. It wasn't a bad relationship. It wasn't anyone that bullied me. It wasn't a loss of a job, nothing. It was a loss of self, right? Yes. When I accepted and I thought, you know what, I've accepted. I had to forgive myself for everything that I'd done because no one else was to blame. So we go through this journey. So acceptance, forgiveness. And this is how I coach my clients. We go through acceptance. We go through forgiveness, right? So now I've forgiven myself. Now that I've forgiven myself, what do I want to do? I want to embrace myself and love myself. Yes. So the change in healthy eating came in. And I tell you this, I was so highly constipated for 5 years that as soon as I took out meat, I started to go to the toilet 3 times a day and my energy increased. And I was like, so if somebody had told me that bodybuilder's diet was not good for me, right? If I took it out, I would have never gone through everything I've gone through. But you know what?
It was meant to.
I'm glad I have. I'm blessed because it's led me to this purpose and vision I have, which is to make sure no other woman suffers alone, right? vulnerability as well, like you said, I had to be vulnerable. My family had to know how I was suffering. Mm-hmm. I had to cry tears to my partner, who was my mm-hmm. friend at the time, who's mm-hmm. my partner now. I had to allow, and I call vulnerability sexy. Vulnerability is what makes us women, right? Mm-hmm. It's a sexy part of us. You know, no one wants let's not put it that way, but if you are in a relationship and you believe that you could do everything, why? There's everything that you can do, what is the purpose for yeah. the partner in your life? And my mom used to say this to me before in my previous relationships with my daughter's dad. She said, you always do everything. You don't allow him to do anything. And I'm like, but mom, that's how you brought me up. Yeah, I know. And then she once said to me, I blame myself for the fact that you're now single. I'm like, no, mom, it's a good thing I'm single. Mm-hmm. But again, I had to learn through this relationship with my partner to be vulnerable and to say, you know, I want you to do this for me. Yeah. I'd like you to do this to me. Yeah. And now I'm in a point where, like you said, how do we expect somebody to love us, right, when we can't love ourselves, right? So I now know how to receive.
So I know we could sit there and chat all day.
Yeah.
and you know, I just think you're amazing. And
thank you.
To be articulate. Sorry, cat still getting involved.
I've got two cats.
But, you know, I know that you have got your love retreats. I love myself retreats. You've got mm-hmm. intention coaching. You do group coaching program. Mm-hmm. You do Self-Love is Key to Happiness. Is that your book? Because you're an author.
Yeah, my book is Soul of a Woman, A Journey to Self-Love. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's available on Amazon on my website. So that is basically my story of what I went through. And I discovered I have a gift of poetry. So it's poetry form. Mm-hmm. Then reflections of what I went through, everything that I talked about today. Mm-hmm. And then it's got a coaching exercise that you can do yourself to take that step forward through the acceptance, forgiveness, embracing and loving yourself. So it takes you through my journey and your individual journey to get you there.
And the other thing that we didn't mention is that you Portuguese.
I am Portuguese. So I am an international speaker and I speak, I do international events both in Portuguese and in English as well.
So, tell us your website. You're also on Instagram. So is it Free to Embrace Me? Is that the website? Or
Free to Embrace Me is my company. So I teach women how to embrace themselves. So that's actually my company. But on Instagram, is I am Nelza Katoja.
Yeah, I'll put
and on Facebook is Nelza Katoja as well. I have a free private Facebook group that I coach women for free in there. Right now we're doing a 21-day I Am Worthy challenge. So every day I challenge you to do something to show up as yourself, whether that's a picture of you with no makeup, whether that's, you know, every day is going to be a different challenge. So I go live on my Facebook group at 1 o'clock every day to teach you and give you that challenge, and there's prizes to be won. And then I have my retreat, which is I Love Myself First. So these retreats used to happen physically in London, mm-hmm. but now because of the pandemic, they're now help online, and they're called I Love Myself First Soulful Self-Care Sunday. And the next one is on the 11th of April. I've actually posted that on my Facebook and it's on Eventbrite too.
So what I'll do is I'm going to jig my podcast schedule around and try and make sure that this gets out so that any parent, any woman that has been listening to mm-hmm. our conversation really, and want to take those steps. I think why I am gushing a little bit, and I don't gush. I mean, I've been meeting so many women that I'm gushing over. I am gushing is because through that period of darkness where sometimes you feel that there is no way out, you found a way out and it wasn't expensive, although you did lots of things, you know what I mean? And what's really important about your story and your journey is that it is about the small steps. And, you know, it isn't about the instant, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and my life's going to be fixed, or I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to be the best parent ever, because it's a long journey and it's discovering and it's finding people like you who can help us to expand ourselves just a little bit more. So, yeah. I personally want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day and to tell us your story. And I hate using the word story, to tell us your experience, which is really powerful. And somebody somewhere is going to benefit from this. And I really want to endorse that people who have enjoyed listening to this, follow you on Facebook, follow you on Instagram, take your 21-day challenge, get involved, be in your space, because your space is a positive space. And we need more of those spaces available to us. Gratitude. You got me with the gratitude, man.
Gratitude. I think if anybody takes anything out of the conversation that we had today, is just start being grateful. Because if you complain, you're going to get more of that. And I said this to my daughter the other day. I said, we attract what we give out. So if you're with somebody and you want them to give you love, but you're arguing with that person, they're going to give you back what you're giving out. So give them love. If I'm with my partner and he's experiencing something and he wants to have an argument with me, I ask myself, what do I want him to give me? And I'm like, I want him to give me love. So I will say loving things to him. I would change. I can change that situation around, because it's our thoughts and what we say that changes. So I said to my daughter, when you're anxious about something that's about to happen, you're creating it. You know that. Why don't you create the opposite? And she did that the other day through a conversation with her dad. Her dad had texted her and she was already thinking the worst. And I said, no, change that. Believe that next time you have that conversation with your dad, it's going to be lovely. And she's like, yeah, you're right, mom. So then when she had the conversation, she came out completely happy. Oh, mom, I'm going to spend the weekend with dad. It wasn't that bad. So we attract what we give out.
And I was
going to give out love.
I think that's a very valuable thing that you've tipped, that you've given us.
Yeah.
I think it's even more valuable because your daughter has been seen you through and this transformation, the struggle and the transformation.
Yeah.
What do you think that, I know personally, my children have seen me go through a struggle and they have witnessed me attempting to embrace and understand myself, which has allowed us to have much more deep and open conversations. And sometimes you could be scared, but I admit to them, I'm scared, I don't understand Google can't tell you everything, and they're having a relationship with their father, and I am the same. What you've just said spoke to me about, look, my relationship with your father is different to your relationship with your father. You have the opportunity here to get to know him and for him to get to know you. What do you want out of that relationship? Because you have the power to dictate that. You have the power to make that happen. Right. You have the power to say, I'm not liking the way you may be speaking to me because it's making me feel this way. But by me having that conversation with my children when they're talking to me and I say, I don't really like the way you've just said that to me. It's making me feel a particular way. I love you, but, could we try and find another way? Or I'm sorry, I've said this thing because I'm anxious and I'm angry. Let's talk about it. Let's try and understand each other. And so when we finish this piece of conversation, then I know that what you're carrying away from it is what I intended. And even if it's not what I intended, at least we've walked away from it better than when we first started it. You know what I mean? Sometimes I love you doesn't work because it's just words, but it's the time and the action that I take with my children. So your daughter has seen a really powerful change in you.
Extremely, extremely powerful change in me, where she now does things like me. She now will say, mom, I've got an 18-year-old that has never had a boyfriend and has said to me, mom, I want to love myself first before I go into a relationship. How powerful is that?
Extremely.
For me, it's like, wow, I look at my daughter and I have conversations and I'm like, I've created an even better version of me. Because if I was her age at 18 and I knew this, I would have never gotten half of the relationships that I did.
Exactly. Right?
But now I've broken that chain. You know what we said about what we learned from our moms? Yeah. I have broken the chain. I've broken a chain, and I've just launched a new company, and I'm glad you mentioned this because I know we'll be here forever, called Love and Familia CIC. Uh-huh. So I'm now going to help mums and teenagers and families and teenagers to bond, communicate, and work on their bonding and their family love together, their unity, by teaching them what I do with my daughter. Mm-hmm. And the key thing is with your children, hear them out.
Yes.
Don't just listen to them. Yeah. Hear them. Like you said, let them hear you. You hear them. And there's no such thing as I'm the parent, therefore you should shut up. No, I don't behave like that with my daughter.
I did when they were younger. When they were younger.
Right, of course.
But you have to transform.
Of course. Of course. There's that boundaries, isn't it? We have to have boundaries with our children. Mm. Like today, my daughter was talking to her friends, and because she was on the phone, she kept answering me back. And I said, don't do that. Don't answer. You're only doing it because you're on the phone to your friends. Mm. No, I'm not. I'm like, yes, you are. Don't do it. And I looked at you and I gave her the look. And she knew.
We know.
Normally you wouldn't. Normally you wouldn't. So later on when she comes in, we won't leave it there. When she comes in, I'll be like, you know why I said this to you? Because obviously I can't say it now. She's on the phone to a friend. You know why I said this to you is because if you're going to have a conversation with me, talk to me only. Don't talk to me while you're on the phone to your friends.
Yeah.
Because it sounds to me like you're being rude to me. And I don't want your friends to think that this is the relationship that we have.
Yeah.
And then she'll be like, okay, mom, I understand. So it's hearing them out. So with the CIC that is going to come soon, and I'm obtaining the funding for it, is to help families that right now, financially, they can't afford counseling. This isn't counseling, as I said. Yeah. Financially, they can't afford those holistic ways of healing. Mm. I redid my NLP again. I redid the life coaching course. No. When I got better, I reached out to my same trainer. I said, I'm better now. Can I redo everything? She allowed me to redo everything. Mm. This time I qualified as a life coach. So I had the experience. I'm a mum. I've gone through breakdown to breakthrough. I've gone through almost ending my life. I have the qualifications. I teach women how to really use their voice and unleash their gifts. And almost every single woman I've spoken to and coached are now running their own businesses, right? Mm-hmm. Because every single one of us has that power within us to be great. But because we believe that we're meant to just be mums, we're meant to just work a 9-to-5, we limit ourselves. But when we go through this journey of really looking within ourselves and liking ourselves and loving ourselves, the passions that's inside of us comes out, and those passions turn into businesses.
Yeah.
That's it. Every single woman has birthed a vision. So, you know, I've got so much to offer. So for me, it's like, reach out to me, connect with me, no matter where you are in life, and there'll be something that you'll be able to take back to teach yourself and your child. So
brilliant.
That's what I'm about.
Yeah. Well, look, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Bev.
I'm going to signpost. If we ever want to come back and talk to you again, would you be willing?
Oh, of course. Definitely. Definitely.
All right.
100%. Yeah.
I may do the 21-day challenge. Hang on. You'll see me again.
I think you've already come. You've already signed on to the Facebook group. So just join in. I think you're on a private Facebook group. So just join in.
I act. All right, darling. You have a blessed
day. Care, darling.
Take care of yourself. Thank you so much. And listeners, we just want to say goodbye. Look at the links that are going to be in as part of the podcast, and follow this woman, support, and go and love yourselves first.